Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 116, part 2, Let Us Look Upon the Faithful. Today is Sunday, October 11th, 2009. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. And you know, Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries, historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in Minnesota, and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, which means you're a baby boomer, or you're disabled with proof, maybe you're a veteran, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. and register your household for monthly groceries. Be sure to do that. We have plenty of food and we'd like to help you out. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our Pastor Paul's operation. So be sure to help us out online. You can also join our online community, and up at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, where you can subscribe to weekly podcasts, Life Vantage, supplements, YouTube, you could watch some of our videos, and Twitter. Be sure to join me, Janine Sherry, on Twitter, where you will see a Twitter stream on Thursdays while I'm recording Pastor Paul's message. So be sure to check us out and join me on Twitter. When you go to Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to be able to leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony. So be sure to go to Pastor Paul's blog, and you'll also see Pastor Paul's show notes there to the podcasts. In that those show notes, you're going to find interactive links to the scriptures within Pastor Paul's podcast. So be sure to go to the blog and link to the scriptures after you listen to his message. You can also email me at janine@pastorpaul.org. And as you know, Pastor Paul's podcast is twice weekly. On Friday is part one, Sunday is part two. So be sure to listen to both parts. It's the same episode. Glad to be back. Maggie is my computer. I always name my computers. I don't know. It's just one of those quirks I have. Anyways, Maggie is back. Maggie and I are back. We've been gone for 2 weeks. Maggie had a video card. Literally, she went blind, and that was it. And so now she's seeing again. I can see her. She can see me. We've got the video card. And also, Dr. Greg at the Digital Garage, where I took Maggie, he was able to help Maggie to be able to kind of clear her head out a little bit. Major files, major podcast files, 115 episodes and going strong. So Maggie needed room. So anyways, I want to let you know the names of the messages that you're going to be able to hear on Pastor Paul's podcast this month. Two loves, Eros and Agape. Let us look upon the faithful. Comfort comes from constancy and making the second rate into the first rate. As always, Pastor Paul's messages are incredible. You will learn so much, get so free, and just really be blessed by his messages. So thank you for joining me. Be sure to check us out online at www.pastorpaul.org. If you need groceries, be sure to call us, 612-521-4665. Register your household for groceries. Have a wonderful month of October in Minnesota. It's beautiful. We're looking forward to a beautiful Indian summer where we're out in the yard getting the garden cleaned up and ready to hunker down for winter, which is coming on. So God bless you. Have a great month of October. God bless you.
One time the Lord sent me up. There was a dying man. I didn't know where he was in the whole of the hospital, the Veterans Administration. Someone sent me up, and I thought, well, I'll just go up. Now, all these hundreds of rooms, and I was walking, and I went right to the right floor, praise the Lord. And I got up there, and I was walking. Now, this man didn't want Jesus. He wanted to be left alone. So I thought. So they thought. And I walked by the room, and all of a sudden, the Spirit stopped me, and I looked in at this man, and he looked up at me. Now, I went over to his bed. I didn't even ask him who he was, and I later found out it was the man. And I gave him a hard message. And he came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior right there in that bed and died not too long after that. It's not always easy to obey the Lord beyond our own feelings. On God's behalf, because we want to come off as being nice and respectable, and oh, what a man of God you are. You come up, you brought us so much peace, Pastor, and the people are still miserable. At weddings, I've looked out into the audience, and you see these guys. I mean, you know, you never see a nose hair on them. I mean, they when they go to the barber, everything is done just right. They are so neat, and their ears, you never see hair hanging off them or anything, and they are trimmed up. I mean, their hair looks like the back of their head looks like a, you know, the back of a duck's hair. It's all done just right. I mean, they just look so, you know, and they're sitting all there like this, and that's all right. But when you look out at them and you don't know any of these people, no, none of them, and you look out there, your first thought is just to come off, well, how's business, and how are you, and how are you, sir? Gee, you look nice. Where'd you get your suit? Body 500? Oh, that's great. Huh? And then you get up and you start to minister by the power of the Holy Ghost, and it comes off, and while you're ministering, you think, whew, Lord, what's going on? And then you have an altar call, and the whole place goes to the Lord, and some of the people come up after and say, you know what? And you know, it was nothing spectacular. It was in the mind, but it was the gospel of Jesus Christ that set them free, and they were saved. They didn't even know it. Some of them didn't really know the full gist of it. They knew that they received Christ, but they were lifted in their spirits, and they were born again. And I tell you, there's something great in ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ beyond your own self. I've been at funerals, and I've ministered at funerals when the whole group of them are sitting there. I mean, their eyes, they look like Gravel Gertie. You remember Gravel Gertie in the paper? Big popped-out eyes with all bloodshot, and they're all sitting there, and they're just miserable. One time I was ministering to a group of them. I says, you know, you're all ready for the joy of the Lord. Why don't you let it come? They all went to know Jesus Christ in that place, and I'll tell you something. There was the most laughter in that place you'd ever seen, because the Spirit of the Lord brought in his joy. It wasn't a dirty thing. It was the most beautiful thing that you've ever seen in the whole of your life. But when you obey the Lord, preacher, when you do what God has told you to do, by an experience that you've had before, but you know, get the experience by doing it the first time and obeying the Lord the first time, but you go on in that experience and you grow in those experiences and you know the wiles of the devil and you just keep right on going on. See? That's how you grow, by going on. Are you hearing this? It's hard to be faithful sometimes. Many times the faithful messenger of God must be faithful to their own consciences over people's opinions. And you know something is so right, and everybody is saying it's so wrong. And it lines up with the Word of God, of course. You know what God says? Mine eye shall be upon the faithful of the land, and they shall dwell with me. Maybe you need to be faithful to your kids and offer Christ to them. Maybe you need to be faithful to your parents and offer Jesus Christ to them. Maybe you ought to be faithful to your neighbors and offer Christ to them. Maybe you should be faithful to your wife and offer a husband and offer Christ to them. I think some of us listening should go home and weep, for we have not been faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. No. No. Say amen, somebody. And then also notice that the faithful men are thorough in all they do. The second part of the text says like this: He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. Now, you who are listening are just starting your walk. Make a decision now to follow in a perfect way. Say some I wills, which will then, of course, eliminate some I won'ts. I will leave my friends who are unfaithful. You know, a lot of times we think we have to hold on to our friends, but if we're an example apart from our friends, then our friends are drawn into that which we have become part of. I will leave habits that started with temptation. And then I acted on the temptation, and then this act became a habit, and then the habit became me. Became flesh. Sometimes we're tempted to be morose. Sometimes, see, when you have a spirit of depression, remember that is a spirit. It's a spirit. You're sitting there and you're all right, and all of a sudden this spirit comes in. You've seen these shows where the person's and they get up and they're sleeping, and then all of a sudden this show is sort of a ghost of a thing come out. It's a spirit that comes. It's a cloud. I've seen that cloud on people. When you're ministering, it's a real black cloud. And all of a sudden, they go, that's a spirit. You know what you do for that? Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your hands to God, and that garment drops off. And you lift up your hands to God because you're putting on the garment of praise. When I put on this garment here, I had to put my arms up. The old one had to slide off, and the new one had to slide on. See, it's just as simple as that. Well, you make it sound so simple. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your arms towards God. Praise Him, huh? In the Spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. When you magnify the Lord, it shrinks you. Oh, why not? You know, shrunken heads aren't all bad, are they? I wish mine was about that big and was up on a thing over here. Just, you know, that's what it used to be like. Ooh, are you hearing this? Make a decision. So you see here, it becomes me, you say. It becomes flesh. See, what we practice, that which we practice, we become. If you practice being mad, ooh, you ever heard somebody, their first opening, that makes me so angry. Well, they become a person that's angry. They should almost nickname them, "Hi, angry. How's it going? Are you angry?" "Yeah, bet I'm angry. What do you think they call me angry for, huh?" "Hi, Bloopy. Huh?" Right? What you practice, you become. You got to practice. You got to put it to practice. Now you practice smiling, then you'll be smiler. And they'll say, "Hi, Smiley." You ever see guys that have the nickname Smiley? Sometimes they overdo it, and they're sickening, though. You know what I mean? Smile at the wrong time. But don't trifle with your own convictions. You have convictions? Why trifle with them? You that are just born again, you have convictions. You're open to the Spirit of God. I remember that. Oh, it's so beautiful. they may dwell with me, that they may walketh in a perfect way. He shall serve me. He is the man I will pick out for my servant. And I will put him there, or I will place him there where I am unable to station some other people because they don't want to be stationed there. Oh, I love that, because there's a lot of people that are stationed down here and nobody else wants to come. Could be injurious to your health. Are you hearing it? God says that I can put there. I can put him anywhere they're able to go. I'm unable to place some of them in different stations because they are not clear and straight in their conduct. Because they are not to be depended upon for loyal obedience to their Lord and Master, I can't put them there. And so then I have tried to describe here today who the faithful men of the land are. May we be numbered amongst them. Nextly, what will the king do with them? The Lord says, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful alone. Well, I thought, what does that mean? Well, first, I believe it means his eye of search will seek them out. This is like when your dad comes out or your mother comes out and they're searching for you. Johnny! Johnny! Wait till I get that kid. Johnny! You seen Johnny? Yes, I'm just wondering, have you seen my Johnny? No. Johnny! Mary! And God's on a search. You mean God seeks? Oh. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. Someone insults a woman and you say, listen, you need to apologize for just exactly what you said right there. Well, I didn't mean it that way. I don't care how you meant it. It came out that way. You apologize. Now, maybe that won't go on the 5 o'clock news, but you know God records it? Maybe you clean out the hobo bus with extra care, and you do it extra nice, and you think, well, okay, I should mop under the tables, but I did that last week. Do-do-do-dee-do-do, huh? But you're faithful, and you get down, and you say, what's that scunge under there? And you take your fingernail, and you dig out the cracks in there, you know? And you get a little whisk broom and you sweep all the scunge out of there, you know. Oh, yeah. I never realized this is so dirty. Thank you, Lord. Who do you think's watching you? Who do you think's watching the faithful things that you're doing? God is watching. If a job is worth doing, then do it all the way. Or is it worth doing? How many are hearing this? Or packing bread out there. I've had people out there, they're out there and it's starting to get dark, and they're out there packing bread. Now, I'm not saying everybody in here should pack bread. I'm not challenging to pack bread, but pack something. Pack up your troubles in your old kit bag. I don't care, but pack something. And they pack this bread away and they stow it up there and it's all nice and neat, and I go out there and I thought, man, now that took some dedication. That's all stacked. Look how nice and those rows are. Now I get a thrill out of that. I get a thrill out of opening up the bus and looking in that bus and seeing everything stacked away, and the rice on one side and the fruit on one side and the vegetables on another side and everything in order. And don't you think your God of order gets excited when you do those things? When you are faithful? Oh, yes, he is. When you scrub under things instead of around them. Now maybe someone will not even notice that. But the Lord says, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. Did you ever notice how good you feel when you do a job right? And you leave, well, I'll get that stove tomorrow. Last night, that stove was one solid mass of molten cheese, burnt to the stove. Every kettle was cheese. Oh, let's leave it and go home. No. You do the job and you do it complete and it gets all done. And you look at the stove and you look at the pot and you look at the sink and you look at the vessels that they're in and they're all cleaned off nice and they're put in their proper place. And you know why you feel so good? Because you found favor with God. Did you know that? When you do something right, you find favor with God, and that's where you get that good feeling. That song you guys got, I got that good feeling. Dun, 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 huh? On the other hand, when you do a half a job, do you feel good? No. You haven't found favor with God when you do a half a job. Or when everybody says, sit down, take it easy, you're working too hard, fella. Golly, you need a break. How many hearing this? Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. You know what God is saying when you get done and you have that good feeling? Well done, my good and faithful servant. And that's why you feel good. You know, like you clean your house. Looks so nice. Glad I got into it. Instead of looking at, well, the world flip-flops. This looks so great. I feel invigorated. And you know what? You go in and clean the kitchen. And you feel so good about that I'm going to sit down for a while. And you sit down for a while with your rag in your hand. You're just sitting there and all of a sudden you see something over there. Oh, I didn't notice that. Get over and clean this. See, work motivates you to more work. Doing good motivates you to do more good. And God is always saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. Always. And that's why you have that good feeling. But listen, there's more to it than that. When the king says, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, it means that his eyes shall find, like I said, favor. And the Bible says, his eye will find favor and cheer them. Cheerful people, who are they? They're the ones that are obeying God. You're not obeying the Spirit of God, you are not cheerful. You are down. Faithful. First of all, then we'll close it up here. The king would first search them out, and then he would bring them forward. And then he would promote their interests. And oh, sometimes it takes a little bit of doing and a little bit of time because you aren't ready for it yet. He would see that the faithful men were not thrust into the corner and neglected. He would have an eye of cheering them as they had an eye of pleasing him. God will cheer you if you will please him. You know, you can talk to God. God, how does that look? I just got done cleaning here. How does that look? The guy came up the other day and he says, look at this coffee pot. You ever seen such a clean coffee pot? I says, no, I never seen that coffee pot that clean. Are you sure that's the same coffee pot? How's that taste, Lord? Doesn't that look like new, Lord? Isn't that nice, Lord? And you know what happened? You'll get that good feeling. It's called communing with God. Now, I believe that God greatly favors, and I believe he blesses those by his grace. He makes them to be faithful. You don't just get faithful. God makes you that way. Lord, I want to be faithful. Okay, now I'm going to make you that way. Go over there and do that. What? Go over there and do that. What? Go over there and do that. And you go over there and you do it. You made me do it. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. You made me do it, huh? And all the time you knew it. I'm glad I didn't blew it. Huh? And he makes you faithful. And you go over there, and you go over here, and you do this, and you do that, and you complain, and you shout, and you yell, but you turn out being faithful. It's not easy to make us faithful. We aren't like dogs that are satisfied with a bone we can bury once in a while. God makes you faithful. I mean this, if you are a child of God, if you are unfaithful, your unfaithfulness will come back home to you and roost there sometime or another. Because God disciplines all those children in the house of the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about punishments of the law. I'm speaking of the discipline of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are saved by rich, by free sovereign grace. You are saved forever and forever and forever, and you are made a child of God from the very moment of your new birth. You come under the discipline of the Father's house. You come under that discipline the very moment. And then, of course, if you are unfaithful, your unfaithfulness will deprive you of a many comfort and a many a joy. You know what? It'll dog your footsteps and track you when you least expect it. Look at David. After David's great sin, he was never the man that he was before. Many were his griefs and many were the pangs of his heart, which he brought to himself by that one awful fall. Lord, grant us that we be faithful so that God's eye of approval may be and look upon us, that we might have full joy and we might rejoice in him from day to day, and it says forevermore. But then here in the very last, the text after saying, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful, and it adds this, they shall dwell with me. The faithful shall dwell with God. What a choice privilege. Grace makes a man faithful. Doesn't the Bible say we are made over into the image? Now, maybe you're sitting here right now, and you're being made. I don't care how stubborn you are, how much you don't like the way that I'm preaching this message, how cantankerous. I don't care if you had a knockdown, drag-out fight before you got in here. God's dealing with you, and that's the way it is, and he's going to make you faithful. That's the way it is. How many know that? Have you had heel marks all across the kitchen floor? I have. God, I said, he rewards all of our faithfulness by permitting us to dwell close and have communion with his Lord. Our Lord, we have communion with him. Well, I thought, how wonderful. See, if we have any good works, listen carefully to this. God always works them in us. And then, to top it all off, he rewards us for them as if they were our own. They're not of our own. God works them in. It's like working this mission work in. Oh, that's not easy. He works it in. Convictions, mistakes, misunderstandings. Oh! And he works them in, and then he gives us a reward like we thought of the whole thing. Isn't that what you do with your own children? You teach them how to make their bed. You teach them how to do everything, you know. And the kid comes out and he says, look what I did. Well, aren't you wonderful? And it took you a whole year to teach that kid how to make his bed. Say amen, somebody. And that's just the way it is here in 1985, North Minneapolis. I'm saying he gives us grace and then he smiles on us because of his grace he gives. So if he makes a man faithful, he then rewards him for it according to his grace, and he says, he shall dwell with me. Well, I can see David carrying this out, this resolution. He walks along the street and he's looking for honest, faithful people. Here's a guy over here that's standing over here in the hot sun. He's selling this fruit and he's just real faithful. Some little boy comes by and he's, oh, I haven't got whatever kind of coins they use in them days. And I have no denarius. And he said, well, here, take this. And David says, I'd kind of like to have that man on my team, see? He gets a fair price from those that can pay and so on. Like, this little guy was real hungry, and I think he'd be a good one to work over here in my underneath my Lord. I'm going to look for those faithful ones. And of course, the Lord is saying the same thing. You know, when you speak David, you're speaking the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I hope you know that. And I'd like to have him in my camp. And it's the same way with God. If you're faithful in the small things, God's going to give you something bigger to do. Oh, I can see him doing it all. Yes, I can. Or someone that stands up for God. And David is out there and they say, Jehovah is God. And they stone him. And David says, come on. Get out of here. Go on. He chases them all away and he picks them up and says, I want you in my camp. I want you in my home. I want you in my house. I want you under my authority. Isn't that just like Jesus Christ, our King? Calls us sinners, but communes with us as saints. Washes us when we are guilty, but after that we are washed. He has made us upright in His sight, and He takes us to dwell with Him. He does it all, and He delights in opening up His heart to us, and He also delights in giving us the privilege and the power to open up our hearts to Him. But then today, if you are not faithful and true, you will not be able to commune with Him. If you have done wrong things in business, businessman, you'll not be able to commune with God. If you are angry and resentful and bitter and rebellious, you will not be able to talk with God. You will not be able to dwell with Him if you're not witnessing for God. Your prayers will fall so flat. The Scriptures won't speak to you. But if you have been faithful, you will dwell, the Bible says. It says, you shall abide in Him and His word shall abide in you. And listen to this. When His Spirit, when His word abides in you, the Spirit speaks the word in you, speaks the word through you. It's like when you read the Bible, the Spirit of God is reading the Bible for you like a child, and you say, now I understand. You can study all you want to unless you become like a child and you sit down there and you have the right attitude towards God and you've given up and you're honest with God. There's a lot of I wills, Lord, that I've got to give you. I will do this. I will do that. And it's just like with your little kid. Will you do that when I tell you to do it? I will. I will. I will. And you get your chastising. Your spanking. I will. I will. I will. You promise you won't get in that? I won't. I will. I will. I will. I promise. I will. Oh. And then the Spirit of the Lord, just like after you got that spanking, the next time you go do that wrong again, it's just like the mother's voice is right there with you. Will you promise not to do that again? I will. It's a built-in I will. All of a sudden, you start to open up the Bible, and the Spirit of God reads the Bible to you. It's almost like you don't even have to strain yourself. You just open it up, and it becomes light and liberty and peace and health to your whole body. And then he adds, oh, I love this. He shall serve me. The faithful shall be Christ's servants. I don't know which is the best, the greatest privilege. He shall dwell in me or he shall serve me. I think that he shall serve me is the greatest, really. What an honor to serve God. Here I am, O Lord, send me. Remember when you were a kid? When I was a kid, I was always anxious. If I had the answer, teacher said, well, who knows where so-and-so city is? Who knows where Lake Superior is? And I'd be waving my hand, you know. Here I am. Somebody wanted to volunteer. How many want to go out and pick up the playground? Any excuse to get out of school, you know. Let me say this. We got about 30 seconds left. What an honor to serve God. The Lord, listen to it carefully, will not have you as a servant if you're not faithful. The whole gist of this whole message was be true to the Lord Jesus Christ and to your own self also. Lastly, how will we get among these faithful ones? First, you have to be born again. If somebody's sitting in here today, it isn't born again. You have to be honest in confessing sin, and then you have to depend totally upon the Lord Jesus Christ for everything you say, everything you do, and every breath. And before entering any larger room, you people that are on the move now, prepared for you by God, you have to list some I wills. Maybe today there's some things in your life you'd like to just get rid of. You're going to have to say, I will to the Lord. I will be faithful. I will stop this. I will stop that. I will, by your grace, not do that again. I will, by the power of God, not do that again. I will. And then God will take you out of this little cramped up room you're in. See, sometimes people are ready to move on and they're too big for the room they're in, but they just can't get moving. They got to open up the door. It's like going from when you have your first little house. Oh, isn't this great? And it's just a little thing you kind of squeeze through the kitchen. You know what I mean? And you got a little table in there. Remember that first table we had? We had a little stingy table we borrowed from somebody. It was about this wide. I think it was about 24 inches wide, and it was about 36 inches long. And we had two chairs there, one on either end. Well, it was too close, I can tell you that. It was this close. That kitchen was so close, you had to walk through it like that. But it was the greatest little house that ever was. Went inside that house, and it was just beautiful. And I thought, oh, wow, our own little house. But sometimes you have to move on. God says, hey, I want you to move on now, but you're just stuck in that little teeny house. See? Oh, no, no. No. And that's the same way in our spiritual experience. Sometimes we're stuck there because we don't want to leave. We're fearful and we want to stay in the same neighborhood of understanding, and so we stay right there. Let me tell you something right now. God is ready for a move in this ministry that just has to cancel out all of my previous thinking, and I'm going to have to go into a much larger room because I do not understand, being broke as we are, going over to a $500,000 building with $3,000-some payments a month and just as much for the lights and gas. That does not make sense for me, but the Lord is opening up every door. We're going into a larger room. It's going to take dedication. It's going to take listening to the voice of the Lord. It's going to take a one body, united. I said united. It can have no division in it, cannot have it. And it's got to go with the way the Lord is showing us to go. Walk there in it. And you know something? It's going to be so exciting. I had a guy call me up there today. He says, I have 300,000 pounds of baby carrots. You ever seen a baby carrot? They're just little teeny things. And I thought, ooh, would I like? And he says, they're 3 cents a pound. That's pretty cheap. And we're talking about $300 for 100,000 pounds of those. Think what kind of soup that you could have with that to pass out to people in great big containers. Wouldn't that make Campbell's just blush? Here they have their little noodles in there, and we have baby carrots in there. And baby onions and baby tomatoes. None of this A, B, C, D, E, F, G, da, 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 da. Drink your little Campbell's soup, huh? No. Are you hearing this? And I'm not against Campbell's, but I think Disciples does it better. Woo! Okay. I'm not here next Sunday. I think now's the time to bring this up. You listening on the radio, maybe you don't belong to Jesus Christ. You need to have him as your personal Savior. Maybe there's someone in here today that has not received Jesus as their personal Savior. The most important part of the message. So if you're